Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
Well, today is a family service, as you know, so our children are with us. Welcome, kids. Glad that you're here. And because you're here, I have chosen to do what I call an illustrated sermon that I think some of you will very much enjoy, and we hope the big people will too. But if the big people don't enjoy it, as long as you do, that's all that counts. On the screen, you are, all of you, you are or you will face big circumstances in the coming months. And you don't have to be an adult to be facing big circumstances. You can be a teenager and be facing big circumstances or big opportunities, or you've got a big decision to make, or there's you're going to take a chance on something, and it's a big thing. In the coming months, some of you are going to be faced with that. Some of you are faced with it right now. Others of us are going to be faced with different things. We're going to be faced with big problems, big needs. There's big changes coming to your life. There's big relational issues going on, physical issues going on, sicknesses, injuries. There's stuff going on in your family. I don't know who I might be talking to. And again, I know that the kids are here. But there may be stuff going on in your family right now. And you're just wondering, I'm just 8, or I'm just 10, or I'm just 13. What does that mean? Hopefully today I will be able to give you something, but you may have some big family issues that you're involved in or facing, or employment issues, addiction issues, or, and I left the blank, just blank. You fill in the blank. My title this morning is this: What Lies Ahead? The brand new year, kind of we close the door on 2022, open the door on 2023. It's just a day in the calendar, really, but it kind of feels new. So what lies ahead? My subtitle is really where I want to go this morning. You're facing big circumstances, big circumstances. For you, they may be absolutely gigantic circumstances. I want to remind you today that we have a big God. You don't know what lies ahead in the coming months, but I believe God has a word of encouragement for you today. Welcome to you all. I'm glad you're here. Those of you that couldn't be here in person but are online, welcome to you also, because I believe God has a word to minister to your heart. So we're going to start at the very beginning, and I'm not going to sing Do Re Mi from Sound of Music. That's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. I do have it memorized. We're going to start at Genesis. And we're going to go to the very beginning of Genesis, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that is seen, everything that is unseen, God created it in the beginning. And today we're going to specifically be looking at the heavens. King David wrote this in the Psalms. I really love this passage. I don't have it fully memorized, but I know its essence. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. See, I had it memorized in another translation. That one said handiwork. This one says craftsmanship. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and all their words to all of the world. Every day when the sun rises, every day when the sun sets, every day when the moon comes up, every day when the stars and the planets appear in the sky, they're saying something. What are they saying? By the end of this message, I'm going to bring it down to one very specific thing that I believe God wants us to hear today, that the heavens are saying. But so that we can get a sense of what the heavens are saying, I am going to have a couple of volunteers join me. So my volunteers, Rachel and Asher, would you make your way up to the platform? And let's give it up for Rachel and Asher today. I'm going to have you guys come over to this side. I have an orange. That sounds really good. And Rachel, you can stand next to him. All right, this illustration, first of all, is about size. This is an orange. I went to Kroger and I purchased it yesterday, and I saw the impact of inflation because it cost me $1 per orange. I remember when you used to get them for like 18 cents. But anyhow, this orange is going to represent our sun. And so, Rachel, you get to be the sun. Now, it's hot, so be careful. Good job. Ooh, got a little actress here. Now, we're going to put the sun over here. Follow me if you would, Rachel. Sun, you're going to stand here, and you're going to shine across this world. And look out those people. I know some of them are funny looking. If any of them fall asleep, it's not because of you. It's because of me, but you're good. Now, Asher, I am going to allow you to be the earth. The earth is going to be represented by one grain of sand, and I'm going to give you this grain of sand, which is the earth. As soon as I'm able to get only one, I have the earth in my tweezers. This reminds you of the end of Men in Black. Okay, hold out a finger or whatever. Okay, you now have the earth. There it is. Don't drop us. And now I want you to imagine, Asher, and all of you, that everything, all the mountains, the oceans, all of the people, which are estimated as of today, I saw this, as of today, 7.9 billion people. There's 7.9 billion people. He's making sure he doesn't lose the earth. He's got a double hand on it. I am so glad about that. All of the beauty and all of the problems are sitting right there on that little piece of sand. Now, Asher, I want you to set yourself in orbit around the sun. So find a place that you think the earth would be in relation to the sun. Sun, hold yourself out. There you go. Okay. So, Asher, you think that the earth is going to be orbiting about 1.5 feet away from the sun. Yeah. No, you don't think it's going to. Okay, how far away do you think it should be away from the sun? Just go this direction. You find a place. Wow. 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 I picked smart kids. You are so close. If you will stand right over there, you've got it. Okay, that little speck actually is in orbit around the sun 30 feet away with these proportions. And that planet out there that used to be called Pluto, that's now not a planet anymore, it's a dwarf planet and all those other things. I was just devastated in 2006. I thought I knew all the planets, and now there's a dwarf planet and it's not a real planet. But if we had Pluto, if I chose one of you to go be Pluto, you would end up at Columbus Regional Hospital and you'd hold Pluto up, because in proportion, that's where Pluto would be, circling around our beautiful sun over there. This distance represents 93 million miles. From the orange to there, proportionally 93 million miles. That's pretty big. That is pretty, pretty big. But there are other stars in our galaxy. There's one called Alpha Centauri. Actually, Alpha Centauri is probably our nearest visible star. And to represent Alpha Centauri, you guys can come on back in, we can put the Earth back into there. Okay, good. He held us, and there's the sun. I want to change the proportions a little bit, okay? So before we do that, okay, so I have a sheet of paper for each of you. and one for me. Let's change the proportions. This sheet of paper now represents 93 million miles, the distance from the sun to the earth, the sheet of paper, okay? Your sheets of paper, if you were to put that sheet of paper on top of this, and you were to put that sheet of paper on top of this, we now have 93 million miles three times over. I want you guys to begin to create a stack of paper. You may open that box of paper there. I want you guys to create a stack or a tower of paper. Don't unwrap them. I can tell you this, it's definitely more than 500 sheets. And you begin to stack those. Confer one to another if you would like to decide how many stacks of paper would we need from the sun to Alpha Centauri if each sheet of paper, and there's 500 in there, if each sheet of paper was 93 million miles. Okay? So you start stacking, and I'm going to tell them a little bit more about the Milky Way. So go ahead, you guys, and create me a tower of paper that you think would represent the distance from the sun to Alpha Centauri. So, yeah, you can take it out. Just don't take it out of the packaging. Just grab this stuff and start stacking. And so that people can see, make it in front of the box. I think that's a good idea. So you guys start stacking. Now, the Milky Way galaxy, we have a picture, a couple of pictures coming up. I went online. Go ahead. As seen from Earth, that's kind of what the Milky Way looks like. And it's composed of stars, lots and lots of stars. Now, remember, we're only talking about one star, Alpha Centauri, in the sun. So you keep stacking together, make only one tower. So you guys decide how far it's going to go. So, Rachel, do you think those need to go on top of that? Okay, so now we're up to six of those at 500 sheets apiece. And you guys decide when you want to stop and tell me if you're close. Okay, wow. Rachel thinks it's a long way. Asher, do you agree with her or do you not agree with her? You don't know either. All right, so Rachel, you believe that the distance from the sun to Alpha Centauri with each one of those sheets of paper being 93 million miles is that tall. You guys need more paper, just a second. Okay, guys, while I'm talking to them about the Milky Way, start stacking. Go. You said you wanted to help me, so let's stack. Now, if you decide to make your pile a little bit, so it doesn't fall. So that's how the Milky Way is seen from Earth. Scientists have put together a drawing of what they think it might look like if we're outside the Milky Way, and that's this graphic right here. There we go. Now we're getting some height because we're not there yet. Yeah, make it steady. Thank you. Remember, in the Milky Way galaxy is our Earth, which is one of the stars, and Alpha Centauri, which is another star. Okay, how you guys doing? You think you're there yet? You're not sure. You said, wow, he brought a lot of paper. I bet this is going to be really tall. I don't want it to fall over, so maybe you should just... Okay. Let's set it next to it, Rachel, and pretend it's on top. How does that look? Because it's starting to get pretty... Okay. What do you guys think? How are we doing? Are we there yet? Remember, the sun's down here. Alpha Centauri is not... We're not done yet. Keep going, then, if you don't think we're done yet. You guys keep going. Now, light travels at 700 million miles per hour. That's the speed of light. They still think it's more. We've got about, I'm just under 6 foot, so we got about 5 foot here. We've got about 3 foot. So we're about 7 to 8 foot. You think it would be more than 7 to 8 foot? Rachel sure does. She's bringing more. Or she just likes to build things. I'm not sure which one it is. So tell me when you guys think you've got enough. Yes? No? You're not sure? Yes. You want to put those two back in the box then? You guys have done an excellent job. We're about 8 foot. So the sun to Alpha Centauri, with each sheet of paper, there's 500 in each of these, being 93 million miles, they believe that it would be about 8 foot away, a stack of paper 8 foot away. You are roughly 60-some feet short. Actually, I didn't have enough paper, and I wasn't bringing the lift in here, and even if I did, that ceiling's only about 30-some foot tall. The distance from our sun to the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is a stack of paper 71 feet tall, where each one of those sheets of paper represent 93 million miles. And you know, what do you think? What's between the sun and Alpha Centauri? What? Well, yeah, the Earth is there, but beyond that. I'm sorry? Actually, that's the entire galaxy, and that's both ends of it. And the Earth and Alpha Centauri are probably about that big in that galaxy. This 71-foot height of paper representing our closest star, if we did paper for all of that, believe my book, and that's one I didn't write down because I wasn't thinking of the whole galaxy, but we'll get to that in a second. I believe it's 310 miles tall. That's how big the Milky Way is. What's between the sun and Alpha Centauri? Empty space. There is not another star. There is nothing there but empty space. Would you thank our volunteers? You may go back to your seat. So let's talk about the Milky Way, okay? Let's actually accelerate to light speed. Let's get in your spacecraft. It could be the Starship Enterprise. It could be the Millennium Falcon. It could be whatever. Let's go. There's our view screens. There's space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the CFA congregation as we take our trip across the Milky Way galaxy. Now, you saw the graphic that I had. Ready? Let's accelerate. There we go. We're going to light speed now. All right. We are now traveling at the speed of light. We are traveling 700 million miles an hour. 700 million miles an hour is the speed of light. That's how fast we're traveling right now. Now, Rachel and Asher, from the sun to Alpha Centauri, traveling at 700 million miles an hour, would take us 4.3 years. Alpha Centauri from Earth is 4.3 light years away. The Milky Way galaxy, sit back. You're in for a long, long, long ride. The Milky Way galaxy traveling at the speed of light would take us right about 100,000 years to cover. And that's just our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Scientists estimate that the Milky Way galaxy is one of billions of galaxies, which are composed, each galaxy, of billions of stars. What are the heavens saying about God? In your notes, four things. Now it's the prophet Isaiah first. Let's do that. I needed to keep her straight. Look what the prophet Isaiah said. Look up into the heavens, who created the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Do you know every star has a name? Every star has a name. There are billions in our galaxy. There are billions of galaxies, so billions times billions, and mathematicians in here, you could figure out what kind of number that is. God has named each and every one. Listen to what he says. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. They're all there. He knows where they are. Now, if one blows up, he knows that too. So, four quick things. What every day and night are the heavens proclaiming about God? God is, number one, vast. Stack of paper, 71 foot high, each sheet of paper in the stack representing 93 million miles, 4.3 light years for us to go from our sun to Alpha Centauri. God is vast. But that is just our Milky Way galaxy and a small portion of it. God is even more vast because it's filled with galaxies. Secondly, God is powerful. He created it all. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke, and it came into being. All of these stars, all of these galaxies, all of these planets, boom, they were there. To do that, you have to have power. God is vast. God is powerful. Third, God is creative. The Hubble telescope and some of the enhancements that they have done to it to look at different spectrums of light. If you have an opportunity to go to the Hubble telescope website, see the photographs that they have created of the galaxies and of the star systems and of nebulas and other things out there. Incredibly beautiful. God is creative. He put some stars in our sky, both the north sky and the southern sky, that make shapes. Everybody has seen the Big Dipper, right? I have trouble finding the Little Dipper, but I have found it before. And then there are all of the constellations. If you go to the south, I've never been in the southern hemisphere, so I've never seen the Southern Cross, but I understand that there is a cross in the sky composed of stars. God is creative, and God is in control. First thing I want to talk to you about today, what are the heavens saying? Your God is vast. Your God is powerful. My God is powerful. He is creative, and he is in control. The distances of just our solar system and our galaxy are so incredible that it's hard for our minds to get around it. Remember, I said to you, Rachel and Asher, that between Alpha Centauri and the sun, it was vast emptiness. There was nothing there. At least that science hasn't found any other visible stars there. It's just emptiness. But it's really not empty. Because the Bible reveals in the 139th Psalm when David said, "Where can I go from your presence? If I was to go to the highest heavens, you are there." And that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also knew that the highest heavens were going to include far more than King David ever could see. Between Alpha Centauri and our sun is God. Throughout the entire Milky Way galaxy is God. Between our galaxy and other galaxies is God. Are you feeling minuscule a little bit this morning? I am. But I think that's one of the things that God wants, is that we, as we consider these vast distances, these stacks of paper, these grains of sand and oranges, we realize how big our God is. We sang how awesome he was. I want us to go to the 147th Psalm because it captures a real remarkable truth about this vast God. Could you bring it up? It says that God, this vast, gigantic, incredible, powerful God, heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars. He calls them by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. He is vast, he's powerful, he's creative, he's in control. Yet, just listen up if you've tuned out for a second. Listen up. He's also very personal. It says he heals the brokenhearted. That means he sees the brokenhearted. It says he bandages their wounds. That means that he gets very close. This incredibly vast God, with all of the power, is still very, very personal. Very, very much in love with you and I. Our God is vast and mighty, yet he's also personal and loving. Let me just, from the scripture, let me just read some things that you are. You are the apple of God's eye. You're the object of his love. You're the highest of his creation. You're the only being in all of creation that he came and died for. The only creature that is created with some of his qualities built within us. We're in his image. That's who you are. That's who I am. This concept of an infinitely vast yet loving personal God is actually incomprehensible. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 12. What is the price of 5 sparrows? In that day and age, you could buy sparrows at the marketplace. I don't know what they use sparrows for. I doubt that there's much meat on them, but they must have had some use for sparrows. He said, what is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins. Smallest bit of money that they had available to them, 2 copper coins. Yet it says of this vast God, that again, we've looked at these distances, this vast God does not forget a single one of them. And then he says, yet the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. The Bible talked about God being vast and about God being powerful. The Bible also reveals this. This vast, powerful, creative God is also love. 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. Throughout the universe, in the vastness of God, there's love. Because that's who God is. God is love. When we talked about the distances, we felt minuscule. When we talk about the vastness of God and his love for you, I would hope something would grow bigger inside of your heart. Because when I think of these type of things, when I imagine these type of things, something inside of me begins to stir. The first is I become very, very small. This piece of sand that represented the earth, everything is on it. Oh, I can see my house. Look at that. I'm going to need a new roof in a couple. No. If God is so big and our earth is so small in comparison, and I, on this tiny earth, am smaller yet, starts giving me a perspective that maybe my problems, my opportunities, my difficulties are not as big as sometimes my mind makes them to be. When we consider this vast, powerful, creative, in control God who is also love. Because God is in control. I didn't talk much about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you know what? If you went to look for Venus or Mercury in a telescope at night, you could find exactly where it is in the sky. Because God is in control. Things aren't flying out of place. They're in control exactly where those planets are supposed to be. The sun's going to come up at a certain time tomorrow morning. It's going to go down at a certain time. You can go on an app and you can find out exactly when the sun's going to set today. Exactly. You can get it so specific that you can get it to our part of the time zone. The sun will set at this time. Why? Because God is in control. And then God is love. Just as you begin to feel minuscule with the distances, something inside of us should begin to grow bigger as we consider his love. So, do you have any problems worries or fear today. I want you to think right now, what is your biggest one? What is the biggest thing that you are facing currently or you believe you'll be facing in 2023? Is it financial? Is it one of your children or grandchildren that's messing up their lives? Do you have a physical problem, a sickness, you or someone that you love? Do you have inner hurts and struggles? As you consider your biggest problem this morning, I want you to ask yourself three questions in your notes. Three questions. Here we go. Number one, how big is my God? Just think about that. Ask yourself, how big is my God? I believe I've created a case from this illustration that he's like kind of big, like incredibly big, vast, awesome. How big is your God? Second question is this. How big are my problems in comparison to how big my God is? How big are my problems in comparison to how big my God is? Now I want to talk to some of the children that are here. I think sometimes we adults, and I'm sorry if I have done it to any of you or my own kids, we think we minimize your problems. Some of you have problems that are very large too. They really are. You're dealing with some things at school, or you're dealing with some things in your family, or there's something that you don't understand, or you see somebody who is ill in your family and it just weighs heavy on you. God is concerned about your problems too. How big is your God? Your God is as big as any adult's God because he is like incredible. How big are your problems in comparison to God? They are very small. But here's where the rubber meets the road, and here is where I'm going to spend just a little bit of time. And I'm just going to share from my own heart. I consider the vastness of God. I then consider the minuteness of my problem. Yet sometimes I still fear. I still worry. There are things I've prayed about, am praying about, have prayed about. And God is so vast. I mean, that can be solved. But there are times he doesn't. And this is where it gets a little bit more difficult. And you at home, children, anybody, teenagers that are here, this is where it gets difficult, is understanding why God does not. Why has he not answered the prayer that I've prayed in the way that I believe it should be answered? That problem, that prayer is minuscule in comparison to the vastness of our God, yet it's not been answered. Why? So when I can't answer the why, the worry, the anxiety, the fear still comes into my heart. So I have a third question that we need to ask, and I ask myself this one. First is, how big is my God? Vast. How big are my problems in comparison? Minute. The third question is this, how big is my trust? How big is my trust? Because that's where I have my biggest difficulties. You know, something happens here at the church or in ministry. Something comes up, and all of a sudden I find myself fretting, or I find myself worrying, or I find myself having other emotions, or something happens in the family. And what I find is, can I not trust God? Job made a statement. Job is a very interesting person. If you've never read the book of Job, Job is a man who God allowed the enemy, Satan, to work on his life and remove everything from him. He lost his health. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. And he was reduced to sitting on a dung heap boils all over his body, not understanding anything. Oh, asking God, what's going on? Not understanding anything. Job made this statement in Job 13. This is a fantastic statement. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's where I want to get. That's where I want to get. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When I get tense, when I fret, when I worry, when I'm watching things in our nation, politically, in upheaval, when I'm watching what the weather is doing, the weather extremes, the financial insecurities, the infrastructure breakdowns in this country, our educational system falling apart, I get tense, I fret, I worry. When I'm seeing things in our community, when I'm seeing increased violence, addiction issues, and other problems, I get tense, I fret, and I worry. And so I need to once again consider the heavens. I need to once again consider the love and faithfulness of God. If Job could make that statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? And Job's understanding of the vastness of God was far inferior to ours. Can we not trust him? Can I not trust him? And the answer is we should be able to, but we don't understand. So the last thing, it's not in your notes, the last thing that I believe the heavens are saying, trust the Creator. He's vast, he's powerful, he's creative, he's in control, he is love. Trust the Creator. Trust your Creator. Trust your God. Pastor, how can I trust him? I worry so much. I have so much going on. How can I trust him? I understand. First thing to do, consider the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your finger, the moon and the stars, which you have created. What is man? This is another psalm. I don't have it on the screen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? What are the heavens saying? Consider them. Go to that Hubble Telescope website. Look at those images. And realize that that's the God who loves you. And he can be trusted. And the second thing is this. Team, you can make your way back to the platform. The second thing is this. I believe, and I have done it, that you can ask for supernatural trust. Think about it. Jesus is the one who says, ask anything in my name and the Father will grant it. If you say, I'm having a hard time trusting, my trust is not big enough, ask for it. There was a man whose son was demon-possessed, and Jesus came to the man, and the man said, can you help me, please? And Jesus said, what do you mean, if I can help you? Anything is possible to him who believes. And the man said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Listen, we all have a level of trust in God. But how big is your trust in comparison to the problem that you're walking through? This is what I've been asking myself all week. I've been preparing this message. How big is my trust as I'm looking towards the future? What lies ahead for me? What lies ahead for you? What lies ahead for my family? What lies ahead for the church? What lies ahead? I don't know. There are times that my trust isn't big enough, so I made it a prayer. The man said, I do believe, help my unbelief. One of my prayers is, I do trust, help me to trust more. I need to trust enough. When you consider the heavens, They're declaring, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. His handiwork is speaking. This morning, there's one thing I believe the Holy Spirit wants to leave us all with, no matter if you're watching or if you're here, for you to have your trust grow. That we can get to the point, I want to get to the point that when I'm going through the worst of the worst, though he slay me, yet well, I will trust him. I will trust him. I will trust him. There's a man by the name of John Newton. You guys may recall him a little bit from history, but he's mostly known for writing the hymn Amazing Grace. He was a man that used to be a slave trader. He ran slaves, sold human beings, and came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, got radically saved, and then became a preacher. And he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. But that wasn't his only hymn. He's written others. Years ago, a friend of mine quoted these words from a song by John Newton, and I have them written down in a variety of different places in this morning. I'm going to pray this prayer over you, and I want you to take this prayer. It's published in your bulletin. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. We've looked at how vast he is. Do you think he can't meet that need? Do you think he can't do that? Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Yes, God is big enough. God is loving enough, and I can trust him. I can trust him with my big problems, opportunities, decisions, changes, and needs. I can trust him with my issues. And I'm going to trust him enough to obey what he's directing me to do. But today, I'm also going to pray for God to impart supernatural trust. In fact, when I open the front of the church for prayer, our prayer team, that's one of the things I want them to pray for you. If you need your trust level, call it your faith level if you wish, to grow, let's ask Jesus. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Bring your petition for greater trust, for greater faith, for greater confidence in him as he ministers to us today. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to take our big whatevers to our big God. Would you stand?
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.